let's be real. Lawsuits are no fun, but with Paulson and Nace, at least, they are a little easier. With two DC-born partners, Paulson and Nace will fight for you the way only a Washingtonian could. Paulson and Nace handles medical malpractice, wrongful death, and other complex injury cases involving negligence. So if you have been hurt or lost a loved one because of someone else's mistake or negligence, call Paulson and Nace for a no-obligation consultation. Visit www.paulsonandnace.com or call 202-463-1999.
Today on CityCast DC. Wow, it has been a week. In a super dramatic turn of events, the owner of the Capitals and Wizards announced that the sports teams will be staying in DC after all, completely backtracking from his really confident December announcement that the teams were going to move to Virginia. Axios's Jeanette Dill is here to help us understand how we got here. Plus, my colleague Kayla Cody Stemmerman and Axios's Anna Spiegel are joining as well to talk about the DMV's food hall craze and futuristic upgrades to Nats Park. Today is Friday, March 29th. I'm executive producer Priyanka Tilvey, in for our host Michael Schaefer, and here's what DC is talking about. Jeanette, Anna, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. And Kayla, always good to have you.
Good morning.
I feel like this is actually a good opportunity to take a second to talk about our membership program, because I just want to highlight all of the things that you did this week. You went to a press preview for a food hall. You've been on the podcast twice, this episode and then the episode coming out on Monday. And you wrote the newsletter, which is your actual main job.
Actual job. And we're going to a preview tonight for a new restaurant called Palette 22 in Union Market. Actually very excited about that.
Unreal. Okay, so that is a lot of different roles that you played in your 1 week of CityCast DC stuff. And so I just want to give people listening an opportunity to know how they can support all of the work that we do for this show. You can become a member. It's $8 a month. Just go to membership.citycast.fm. And yeah, it helps us keep doing all of the stuff we're doing. Plus, as a member, you will get ad-free listening. You'll get first dibs on any live events that we do. And we've done quite a few and they're really, really fun. And if you sign up by April 5th, you will get entered into a raffle to win a free Hey DC mug. These are really nice mugs, y'all.
They're handmade, actually, I think.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Yeah, sign up. Once again, it's membership.citycast.fm. And that link is in our show notes as well. Okay, so Jeanette, I cannot believe what has happened with Capital One Arena in the last 48 hours. This is just completely wild to me. Late on Wednesday, Bowser and Leonsis, Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Caps and Wizards, announced that the teams are going to be staying in Chinatown at Capital One Arena. You covered this. How did we get here? I just cannot believe this.
Well, it looked like in December, this was a done deal. Of course, it was only a handshake deal between Ted Leonsis and Governor Youngkin. But it had a lot of pomp and pageantry, and they unveiled this new arena in Alexandria. And well, not so fast. It never got through the Virginia legislature. It seemed like Youngkin and Leonsis didn't secure the votes that they needed, including from a key senator, Senator Luis Lucas, who some D.C. people are saying the city should put up a statue of her in front of Capital One Arena for saving this and, making a lot of NIMBYs in Del Rey happy that the arena is not going there. So what we know is that in the months since December, Mayor Bowser and Ted Leonsis has kept talking. In fact, apparently in the open near City Hall at the Waldorf Astoria, the old post office, hotel, now restaurant sort of area, and they talked over drinks apparently multiple times and got a deal through. And this deal from DC was always on the table. It was $500 million first. They kicked in another $15 million, and eventually Virginia's deal looked more and more certain to be not happening, and DC was always here, and Ted came back to the city and the mayor.
So does this mean that, is this now final? Like, is this the final, final decision? It is no longer going to be in Virginia. Like, it is 100% going to be in DC, because I'm really sick of this, like, back and forth stress over the last few months.
The council is going to vote on Tuesday. And what's different from Virginia is that they're all in on this deal. So the mayor is on board. The legislature is on board. Ted Leonsis is on board, obviously. So there isn't going to be what happened in Virginia. I think this is a 100% done deal.
Wow. What are the terms? Because I know that DC had been going back and forth with Leonsis for, I mean, years, right? About him being like, I need more money to modernize the arena. And Bowser being like, no, I won't give taxpayer money for this. And that is kind of what led to the Virginia announcement in December. Now here we are. So I'm assuming Bowser has given him something.
Yeah, the city is giving $515 million in taxpayer cash. This is public money. And Ted Leonsis is putting in $300 million for about $800 million of a renovation that's going to add a new training practice facility, apparently on the top of the arena, which is kind of interesting to me. It's going to be a pretty extensive construction project. And they're presumably going to remake the exterior of Capital One Arena, which I guess kind of looks stale now. It was built in 1997. And there's a bunch of other lists. I mean, they're going to be more security after, before games, which doesn't necessarily seem totally new. And then there are some things that address the pet peeves of Ted Leonsis. For example, Ted was very upset, apparently, over the loud street musicians, the buskers, outside of Capital One Arena.
Yeah, we did an episode about that with Eric Wemple, who'd interviewed Ted.
Right. So part of the deal is Ted says there won't be loitering, noise, that sort of thing, outside of the arena or whatever that means.
Very hard to imagine Chinatown without that.
Yeah, and, you know, apparently this is something that the city has worked out now. He has these other issues with a streetery across the street on 6th Street that apparently is also going to be nixed out now. So this is all, I guess, what they needed to do to get this deal through.
You know, I mean, a lot of this feels, maybe some of these concerns might be very legitimate. Some of his concerns, like about the streetery, maybe it does take up a lot of parking space and that's a legitimate concern. But the whole feel of this thing is as if he kind of threw a bit of a tantrum over things he didn't like and then strong-armed the city into finally giving in. Is that just me? Do y'all feel like that?
I mean, that's one viewpoint. I think what the mayor, who probably felt that way in a certain degree, but what the mayor had to do, I think, was rise above that and realize this is probably for a higher good. If they can keep the teams, it's such a big deal for the city culturally, for the city sports fans, for downtown. And personal differences aside, I think it does, to her credit, take something to be able to say, we're going to keep the teams here. We're going to do something that maybe I need to hold my nose a bit about. But, I mean, losing those teams could have been disastrous, especially if momentum is against you. That's a really hard thing to try and reverse.
Anna, I know that you've reported in general about how restaurants and businesses in Chinatown were feeling in these last 3 months when we thought that the teams were going to leave. Now that they're going to stay, I mean, you know, obviously pending vote on Tuesday, I'm in a never say never mode now. Do you think that this is going to, quote unquote, save Chinatown, save downtown?
Yeah, you know, I think it depended on the kind of businesses. You know, obviously for some of the bars, some of the fast casuals, they were really worried. You know, the places you saw, like Taco Bamba, said they're not going to actually end up coming back to Chinatown. We'll see now. It'll be interesting because they're like, we're not going to have the foot traffic. We don't have the offices to come in for quick grab tacos. You know, the places that are more full service, like the Zaytinyas, they, you know, I don't think they were quite as worried. But yeah, I think, you know, I think as Junaid said, I think the energy having, you know, the game day traffic guaranteed. I think that's a huge thing for restaurants, especially now at a time when office occupancy is still relatively low.
Anna, your buddy Jose Andres was bouncing around yesterday at the announcement, very excited. And I guess I don't know, but they seem to have unveiled a new piece of Capital One Arena with Jose Andres part of it on the ground level, a new fan experience area.
Whoa.
That's exciting. And he was part of that task force to kind of reinvigorate downtown when it looks like the teams were leaving. So, he's been such a big part. You know, that Paleo is his first restaurant ever in DC, now a little over 30 years ago. And, and when you go to those restaurants around game time, like even if it's a nicer place, you do see people, in jerseys going for the game, going to get their, sangria and tapas.
For sure. It's a whole vibe.
So before the announcement came about the teams staying in DC, Mayor of Alexandria made this big announcement that they're pulling out of the deal before that even happened. So obviously they're related, but why would Alexandria pull out like that? Like, I thought it was kind of a good deal for them. Like they would get this huge investment. They would get this huge amount of people coming there. Like, why was this no longer viable for them?
The Democrats in the state house essentially weren't going to move on it. It was pretty much dead in the legislature. You needed a Hail Mary times 10 to really revive it. So it was clear the deal was dead in Virginia, and they probably heard what was happening in DC, which is the mayor and Ted, and they were all meeting in Capital One Arena yesterday and putting the final touches on this deal. So them pulling out was just moments before DC would announce this new investment at Capital One Arena.
It's giving "you can't break up with me, I'm breaking up with you." Or
yeah, like I'll do it first. Yeah.
We don't need sports teams. Who wants a sports team?
Yeah, everyone wants to get their story straight.
Reflecting on just the way this whole thing is gone, it just feels like, Bowser definitely comes out on top. Like you were saying, Janae, like she handled this masterfully. It is interesting because the conversation in December when Youngkin and Leontis announced the move to Virginia, all we were talking about was how Bowser had boofed it. Like she knew about Leontis' concerns. She hadn't taken them seriously enough, hadn't dealt with the buskers, hadn't dealt with the crime, and now he was leaving. And now it feels like in the last 3 months, Youngkin is the one that didn't like politic right and talk to his senators and make sure that this plan could go through. Like in some ways, this whole story of the last 4 months is a story of politicians really messing up and others being able to take advantage of it.
To her credit, Mayor Bowser said, and we thought it was all embarrassing at the time, but she had said, "Oh, Ted isn't going anywhere." For months, she would say that.
Yeah.
And then December happened, right? And everyone was just so angry that the city did it more quickly, offer a real package, and gotten this deal through. I guess patience is a virtue, though. And Bowser didn't blink, and she kept talking to Ted. And Ted said yesterday, told me, he hadn't signed anything until the deal with DC. So Youngkin, this is a massive fail for Youngkin. This was supposed to be a crowning achievement. There's speculation he might want to run for Senate because he can't run for another term as governor immediately right after.
Yeah, Youngkin's had a rough year.
He's had a rough year.
He's being trolled on the internet by Senator Louise Lucas.
Oh my God, she's so funny. The memes are so funny.
So good.
One of the best parts of this whole process.
It's time to get dressed up, DC. So Others Might Eat is having its Young Professionals Network Spring Soiree. That's to help raise funds for homelessness in DC. The gala is on the evening of May 17th at the National Museum of Women in the Arts. There will be live music from DJ Heat from the Washington Wizards, photo booths, food, and even a special appearance by a former actor from Pretty Little Liars. Wow. There will also be a canned food drive, so be sure to bring a few cans to support Sum's Food Pantry. Grab tickets before they're gone at sum.org/springsoiree. That's SOME.org/springsoiree. See you there.
something new came to Virginia this week, at least. Kayla, you and I went to the Upside on Moore, the new food hall right above the Roslyn Metro Station. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. At least they're getting something. it's really good. So yeah, so Upside on Moore just came to Roslyn. It's kind of the brainchild of this company called Mother Sauce that's behind like City State Brewing and Takuma Beverage Co. And it's another food hall, right? Like we've had how many food halls in the last, 12 months, five?
Yeah, can we actually take a second to count them? Because I feel like there's a new food hall every other week.
There's Love Makoto.
There's The Square.
The Square.
The one in Chevy Chase, The Heights.
Oh my God, yeah.
Water Park, if you count out Virginia.
There's the Bryant Market.
Bryant Street Market.
These are all kind of like in the last year or so, but yeah. It's
insane.
And there's also the additions to the food hall in Foggy Bottom. Western Market.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of expanding. And
is there enough desire to like fuel all of these food halls? Anna, you would know better than me.
It's so much depends on neighborhoods. Like, so I had a friend, actually one of my colleagues, text me on Friday night that she was at the Heights in Chevy Chase and that was packed.
Really?
You know, I think that's a neighborhood that there's not as great diversity of restaurants. Obviously there are some great ones, but you know, when you pack all of this kind of especially local talent into one area, people are really excited about it. When I was at Love Makoto for lunch, Junaid and I were there together. It was packed. We couldn't even get a seat. It felt like being almost like a high school cafeteria in terms of being like trying to angle for a table. But, you know, I think it also depends on the time of day. Like, you know, I've heard, you know, with the square, it's been, you know, busy for lunch downtown, not as much for dinner. And I think a lot of these places are also trying to get programming in. Like the square is offering these new pop-up markets to get people in the door on weekends when people might not just be hanging out on K Street.
Oh, true. Yeah. Is Upside on Moore doing programming, Kayla?
Yeah. They talked a lot about sort of they're doing, you know, like yoga and night markets and all these sorts of community events after hours and on weekends to like draw people in, specifically people that live right around right in Roslyn, which is kind of new because honestly, there's not a ton to do in Roslyn, not to be a downer, but historically not a super hip or cool neighborhood of DC. I think that's a safe statement to say. And I think they're really hoping to leverage that and like leverage all the people that live there because it is a really high density area to come and like eat at this food hall, hang out at this food hall. It has a ton of seating. It has really good Wi-Fi. They're going to have all these events. You could really just sit there all day and order like coffee and then lunch and then dinner and then go to the night market. You know, like you could really make a whole day out of it. And it's interesting because it's actually in the same place as an old food hall called The Assembly, which had a very different vibe. I'd literally never heard of it before this because it was all sort of outside vendors and it didn't do very well. So I think the hope with this one is that it's going to be all local vendors. Like the menu is very thoughtfully laid out. The space is really thoughtfully laid out for sort of people who might be working from home or might want to hang out friends. So it's looking like a very different experience in my understanding. So pretty excited about it, actually. Priyanka and I worked from there like all day on Tuesday, and I would definitely do it again. It was very nice.
Yeah, I think like the whole like explosion of food halls at the same time when we're all remote working is key. Like I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, talking about the event programming, you know, Union Market's kind of been the gold standard of what a food hall can do for a neighborhood. Like think about when it opened, they've named a whole neighborhood after it. It's now the Union Market District, right? When it opened, people were not going over to NoMa just to hang out for the day as much. And, you know, they do that. They have the yoga, they have different kinds of murals and art walks. Same thing with Eastern Market, you know, obviously a much older example, but food halls can really transform a neighborhood if they do it right.
Is Eastern Market the first food hall?
Yeah. I think what is the original market?
Yeah, for sure. What about the actual food, Kayla? What vendors do they have? Are they good?
Yeah, so there's 9 different vendors. There's a couple of original concepts. Lightning Coffee Co., which is their coffee shop, will be a brand new sort of coffee shop. And then there's Lily's, which is sort of an American fare, like steak and fries menu to sort of fill the gaps of the other vendors. And then there's a bunch of DC favorites. There's Lucky Danger, Ghost Burger, Stellina Pizzeria, and then there's a new brick and mortar for an a food truck called Kamen 46, which is a Hawaiian and Filipino restaurant. So there's lots of good stuff. Honestly, kind of some of my favorites in DC all in one place. I'm not going to lie.
Sounds great.
Yeah, this is making me hungry. Well, we've talked about sports news. We've talked about new things opening up news. And now we get to combine them with Nats Park. Anna, you got to check out some of the upgrades to the park, and they sound bizarre and futuristic and, like, in some ways almost dystopian, but also maybe cool. I don't know. What's going on?
Yeah, it depends how you feel about facial authentication technology.
Not great.
Yeah.
Every year I've gone to the Nats Park preview for the last, you know, I want to say 10 years. They always have different ways of getting people into the park faster. Some are more popular than others. Like when they introduced the bag size limits and the clear bags, people were not super stoked about that. But hey, it makes, you know, getting, you can get into the games, which especially when the Nats were doing really well, was a little more important. But this year they're introducing MLB Go Ahead Entry. It's rolling out at 4 different ballparks around the country. It was tested, I think, in Philadelphia. It allows registered fans to walk through at like a very brisk pace and uses facial authentication technology to kind of recognize. And the, you know, you still have to go through security and things like that, but you can just kind of breeze through.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, like when you buy a ticket, do you have to upload a photo?
No, so you can register. You basically just like register on the MLB ballpark app, which has kind of been their source. Most people will have it on their phones. It's the way you can pay for food now, the way you can get tickets. They've really kind of streamlined everything into this app. You can do it within, I was with somebody at the ballpark door, did it within a minute. You know, you scan to register, you upload a picture of your face, and that's about it. Yeah, it's not too, you don't have to give, you know, your blood type and a social security sure. number, but.
They can get that from the face though, you know?
Exactly.
This is just the first step.
Just a hair sample. Yeah, no, it seems like pretty low tech, but there are, I mean, obviously there are some people who, it is a little dystopian, and it depends how quickly you want to get into the park.
How fast can you, like, can multiple people go through at a time?
Yeah. I mean, like, it looks like when they were doing a sample trial run, you know, people were walking through at like a pretty brisk pace, like you would to go run over to Shake Shack during the third inning before going back to your seat. So people were, you know, just walking through. They have 4 of them, I think, set around the stadium. So you could try it out if you feel like that kind of thing.
I mean, I do hate lines, I will say. There are also a bunch of new food vendors, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, this year, especially being still a rebuilding year for the Nats, they're really trying to get people in the park as many ways as possible. So even if you're not a huge baseball fan, there's cool new food options. They're doing a lot of events. They have like a tacos and tequila event for the first time coming later. I think it's in May. Yeah, May 18th. But yeah, and there's some new food options. They have Los Cinco's Tacos, which is the taco place from Capo Deli. They're really delicious. They're going to be making tortillas in the park, which is pretty cool. I had a sample of their barbacoa, which was delicious. They have a Song's Korean Hot Dogs, which is kind of fun, like deep fried Korean hot dogs.
Kayla's eyes just lit up.
Like, whoa. Deep fried Korean hot dogs.
They're really good. They're really delicious. And then they're doing some like fun, supersized, like Instagrammable food. Like they have beer bats. That's like beer and giant baseball bat. They're doing like life-size helmets filled with nachos, if you want a helmet of nachos. And I think they're doing turkey legs, they said, from one of their enchant vendors. So like if you want to.
Wow, no. Enough is enough. Like, food. Like, how complicated can you make it? I feel like, I guess if you are going to spend, you know, $30 on a hot dog and a beer, though, like you might as well get a really fancy Korean hot dog and like a baseball bat full of it, you know?
Yeah. And I think they have like, you know, the Nats have always done a good job at having a little something for everyone. Like, you know, for example, they're doing Tuesdays as kind of like a deal day where tickets start at 9. You can get $3 pretzels, you can get $4 hot dogs and $5 pizzas. Kids will, later in the season, under 12, they'll eat free. So like, you know, you can kind of find your groove whenever you want it.
That sounds really fun. The season starts again on Monday, right?
Yes, on April 1st.
Okay. Well, I have only ever been to one Nats game, but...
Oh, you should go. It's so fun. They're also doing really fun this summer. They're bringing back, since the first time since COVID, their Nats Summer Concert Series. So the post-game show is included in the ticket price. They have Carly Rae Jepsen, Florida, they have a bunch of people. So there's a bunch of different, even if you're not a huge baseball fan, reasons to go to the park.
Well, I'm excited for that. Maybe I'll see y'all at Nats Park. Anna, Janae, Kayla, thank you for being here.
So much fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's all for today here on CityCast DC. I'm our senior executive producer, Priyanka Tilve. Our senior producer is Julia Karen. Our newsletter editor is Kayla Cody-Stemmerman. Our production assistant is Ash Durbin. And we also had our producer, Dylan Brogan, with us this week. Our hosts are Bridget Todd and Michael Schaefer. Music is by Alex Roldan. If you enjoyed the show, go to Capital One Arena, go to Nats Park, and go to Upside and More and tell everyone else about it. We'll be back Monday morning with more news from around the city. Bye!